You know, the strength that God gives. I was just thinking about it as we just going through the survey. And that sounds a bit sort of low-key, but just the enjoyment we've been having this morning. But that God brings a strength. And I was thinking, how has God given me strength? I have to say, I've not earned it. I've not read all the books that will tell me about it. I've not been on the fitness regime that will do that. I'm not living it perhaps in the right place, because there are probably, no discredit to Redditch, but there are probably wealthier places than this. There's nothing I've done to give me the joy of my life. And I'm so grateful to God that he has taken the opportunity at some point in my past to rescue me. It didn't hurt. It didn't cost me a thing. And it's given me new life. You know, the scriptures talk about becoming a new creation. Do you know that each one of us here today who believe in Christ, who believe in the Lord Jesus, who've given our life over to him, we are new creation. We've been made new. There's an article in the Bible, or a section of the Bible, which talks about being born again. And I often wondered about what that meant, being born again. Because you can't be born again. Yet there is a rebirth that's available to each and every one of us. And I just think, grateful to God that he has taken me through that process. Now, I'm sorry if it sounds a bit technical. For me, it's a technical thing. For people in other industries and brought up in other, with see in a different way. But I've just seen it as a process. God worked on me. God worked on me from being a very young person. That's nothing that I want to mention today about that I've got written here. But God worked on me from being a very young person. And he slowly, and I have to say sometimes it seemed almost impossible. He edged me, he urged me into his kingdom. He urged me into the place he wants me to be. You know, it's been mentioned this morning, the Jeremiah quote about God having the plans for each one of us. I'm so grateful that God has a plan for each one of us. Because I tell you, my plan is probably not the same as anybody else's in this room. Totally different, doing different things. Yet God has had the opportunity, he's made the time, he's created a plan which is unique to me. And that's one thing which I'm so grateful for. I'm saying that now because that's just what I wanted to say, that God has been so good. You know, we sing a song, don't we, about that God has, all my life, he has been, he's been faithful, that was the word, yes. Sometimes I do lose the words. I fall out of the back sometimes. But yes, all my life, he has been, even in the dark times. And, you know, I'm not bragging, but I've been in dark times like perhaps the majority of people in this room. People who've been rescued, whose feet have been put on firm ground. I mean, that's such a wonderful thing to know that you're no longer slipping and sliding with what the world throws at you, which it serves up on your plate every day. And a lot of people consume that. That's what you think life's all about. It isn't. It's about God. It's about what he's done. And his son, Jesus Christ, the saviour of the world. I just want to, so we don't lose track, I just want to speak this day, although it's Father's Day, and surprisingly enough, I was shopping yesterday to Tesco's, and there's a guy there was selling T-shirts to people, and the T-shirts, and I was thinking, when I And I speak in the morning and look at the congregation. Am I going to say people who look a bit like Homer Simpson? Because every T-shirt he was selling was Homer Simpson. And also, or it was either that or an awesome dad. So either you were all going to be wearing, or particularly the men anyway, going to be wearing T-shirts which said awesome. But there's one truth there. We're not Homer Simpson, but we are awesome. We need to know that God has stretched out his hand and drawn us to himself, and we are awesome in that respect. I would like to speak this morning, I'm going to speak this morning hopefully, on encouragement. I know it's Father's Day, but I'd like to speak on encouragement, and hopefully it'll slot together. We'll see anyway, we'll see about that. But before we do, I'd just like to read a piece of scripture to it. It's Proverbs 3, 1 to 12. Now that's come up there, that's magic. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. My son, I'm speaking to myself here as well. So fellas, listen up. Ladies, nudge the fellas if they're not listening up, okay? My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. For this will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. I'm just going to stop there because I'm going to say prosperity, we people will do that and say that's prosperity if it's pounds and pence or whatever. But, you know, the prosperity is something that God puts in our heart and we keep it there. You know, I've got more prosperity in God than I could ever have in the world. Yes. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favour and a good name in the sight of God and man. Sometimes we get a good name. Through whatever we do, we get a good name in the sight of man. But it's in the sight of God that is perhaps most important for all of us. This, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honour the Lord with all your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. As a father, the Lord he delights in. Thank you, Lord. I said it's a day that we celebrate Father's Day. We celebrate fathers and their presence. But I'm acutely aware that this day is not celebrated with joy by everyone. There are those whose fathers have sadly passed away, or maybe have left the family home. There are those who are estranged from their fathers, given his instability, his toxicity, and inability to provide the care and steadfast safety needed. For whatever reason, many on Father's Day feel sorrow, sadness, and disappointment. I just like to break that. I would like to pray, because there's been a lot of time on the news this week about the people who lost their lives in Northampton. Come on, tell me again.
Nottingham.
In the same direction, in Nottingham. There was two fathers who stood side by side, and you know, my heart went out to those guys, men whose hearts were broken because of the loss of the children. So could we just close our eyes at this time, and we just want to pray. I just want to pray for those and for others who are dealing with similar situations today. Father, we just want to bring before you, Lord, those who are on our mind, who know the sadness that this day may bring into their lives, whose fathers have passed away, who've left the home. Father, those fathers who, Father, are just, Lord, are not around and have not treated them like they should have done. And I think particularly right now, Lord, of those families, Lord, who've lost their young teenage children this week. Father, I just pray, God, that you would comfort each of these people, that you would bring to them the attention of a loving God. Father, where they're seeking now and searching now to know, Lord, the purpose of this, of things that have happened, that God, you would speak to them and open their eyes and open their heart to your presence and your love. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, Anne and I have been at Oasis, on the journey with Oasis anyway, for a good number of years. And yet, here we are, still going on that journey with the people of Oasis. But I just like to say, I never realised how difficult it is to prepare for speaking on a Sunday morning. We need to always remember in our prayers those who faithfully work hard in the preparation of bringing the Word of God to each one of us on a Sunday morning. In the book of Hebrews, it talks about something like this. It says that we should pay honour to these guys, pay honour to the men and women who faithfully serve us by bringing the word. It says we should do this, we should pay them honour and respect because they have watch over our lives. In some translations, it talks about having a watch over our souls, which is a little bit more serious, that they're watching the safety of our souls in life. And we've got to do this, it says, as ones who have to give an account. Not us, but it's those individuals who have to give an account. So we should remember those folk. I know this is a bit off base at the moment, but I just thought, because it had been not easy for me to prepare this morning, for this morning, that I felt that, you know, there are those who do this week in, week out. And I think for it, we are stronger, better together. And without that ministry, we might not be. Now, just going back to our own situation here, that you've probably noticed anybody who sits out there and looks this way will see that we, Anne and herself, we tend to move about a bit. We're not in the same place every week. But the thing about it is that we are still here because we've settled roots here in Oasis and with the Oasis family. When it was suggested to me that I might talk this morning, it was to talk on Father's Day, and guess what? I'm here badly prepared, unfamiliar with many faces, and somewhat apprehensive concerning what I'm about to share. But it's about Father's Day. I know there are some, and I'm one of them in some respect, who view Father's Day as a little bit of a money spinner for industries, you know, the people who print the cards, the people who provide things for special events for Father's Day. But I'm a bit of a scallywag there. I shun it a little bit, but you know, that's me personally. Probably because I come from up north, and we don't part with us money very easily. We don't do that. But I remember that, probably some of you remember somebody called Richard. In about 1972, this Richard that I'm going to remember, he wrote into the American declaration that there should be a day set aside for fathers. That day had been set aside previously voluntarily by churches in particular who were remembering people who'd lost their lives in industrial accidents like coal mines and the such, and people who'd lost their lives in the wars. Tricky Dicky wrote it into the American Constitution in 72, and we seem to have followed on from them. I think we have it on the same day as they do in America. Of course, there are some of our European neighbours who they don't celebrate Father's Day. It's probably because of the denomination that they're in, or the church they're in, that they hold a day of celebration for Joseph. That Joseph being the Joseph that was Jesus's foster father, or anyway, he was one of his. He was the father of Jesus, stepfather. That's the word I was looking for, or foster, or even adopted father. But they celebrate that day because of Joseph. However, I was going to ask people to, so we could see who all the fathers are, we could ask them to stand up. I'm not going to do, because I know that standing up when somebody on the stage says, can they stand up, I reluctantly keep seated. so I keep seated. However, not mentioning any names, but, you know, it's up. As we're told, it's our decision whether we stand up or sit down. Anyway, I had a second thought quickly after that one. It might, because I'm thinking about that. If I was to ask people to stand up, and that we'd do a straw poll to show to actually show what sort, you know, the father that you were. When I say that, I think I might have leaped ahead of what I was going to say, because there are a number of categories of fathers. Because like myself, I'm not a biological father, unfortunately, to anybody. But I am an adoptive father to three wonderful children. that a smile on Ruth's face. Yeah. So I'm an adoptive. So if I was going to ask people to stand up and, you know, say what sort of father you were, we'd probably have different answers. But I want to raise a banner for the father groups I have identified. Now there will be more, and you probably, people sat there will shout out, "What about this? What about that?" Well, they're all there, but. The ones I came up with were the biological fathers. Then there are the stepfathers and adoptive fathers, and there are foster fathers. And there are those people who are chosen to be godfathers, and also those men who are father figures. And last but not least on my list, I mention absent fathers, because some fathers are not where we would hope they are, should be. But hey, I'm here, and we are all children of the Heavenly Father, and every one of us is known and chosen by Him. In fact, there are numerous Bible verses which speak about God's choice of each one of us. Somebody passed to me some time ago, I think it was Rose that passed it to me, which is a document that's called The Father's Love Letter. If you've had it, you'll know the document. If you haven't had it, then ask Rose, because she's probably got a supply of them somewhere. But that tells us who we are and why God loves us, and by how much, which is amen. I was going to ask fathers to stand, but I thought that I won't do that because, it's difficult to perhaps for people to respond to that. But to all men who identify to one or more of those father figure groups, I just want to say, press in. Aspire to be the best. And pass it on. God created each one of us, and He knows about our personalities. He provides fellow believers, pastors, ministers, and the Holy Scriptures to not only encourage, but also to teach us the importance of lifting others up. I am going a bit slow because I'm just making sure I'm on the right page. And I'm sure you've all done that at some point, made sure you're on the right page. And somebody's taken a page out. Well, that's not fair. Many will be aware that I'm an adoptive father. Because I've just told you all. But obviously, I don't tackle parenting on my own. I couldn't. My wife, Anne, has always... She probably wouldn't accept this, but she's always got my back. And that could well be true for many of us, that somebody's watching our back. We know that God is, but it's nice to have somebody closer in flesh and blood to point out our mistakes, which Anne's very good at. Very good at. As you will be aware, you'll be well aware, behind almost every father doing his best to fulfil his role is a woman, often open-mouthed and with her eyes rolling. If you've not seen that, perhaps you should come to our house and just see how Anne does it, because she can do it greatly. Okay. Yes. You know, God, I think it was one of our pastors smiling at me right now, and thinking, and I said, "Oh, well, I have to prepare for this for Sunday morning." And he just said, "The Holy Spirit," and he's laughing now. He's laughing at me now. He just said, "The Holy Spirit," and I have to say, it is something that I need to learn more. A better ability to learn to trust in the Holy Spirit. And I just want to... There are a number of roles that a father, or the perfect father, you know, fills. And the first one perhaps is, if I can find it, is being the provider. Also being a teacher. Being a friend. And the one that struck me as key for the fellas is to be an encourager. Now, I know there are many more things that fathers can do, but the encouragement I have had, I'd say, from my father, from the pastors here, and other churches I've been to, where they've tolerated me in discipling, and they've put up with me with my approach to living in the South. I'm ever so grateful. But as I said, I just wanted to mention a few things about encouragement, because for me, it's always been an important part of my life. When I was first when I was first saved, I suppose that's basically that, you know, people would talk to me and encourage me, and you know, they'd ask me how I'm doing. They would ask me to contribute. Now, nobody had ever asked me before I was saved. Nobody ever really asked me to contribute, to say what I felt, to say how I would handle situations. Not many people listen to them, but they still ask anyway. But I just want to look at... I've got a couple of scriptures. Hopefully, Denise will be able to put them up on the screen for us all to read. The first one that I've got is from Proverbs 12:25. Proverb. Now, in the Living Bible, which is the same as, it's not worded exactly the same as this, but it just fell on my heart as being the right thing to say. It talked about anxious hearts, and that's a very poignant thing today, where people are anxious about all sorts of things, about mortgages, about living, cost of living, their own health, all sorts of people are anxious for many things. But the Living Bible says this: anxious hearts are very heavy. And I know that is probably true for many people. But it goes on to say in the Living Bible, I keep saying that because it's not quite the same. It says anxious hearts are very heavy, but a word of encouragement does wonders. And I just thought that's more accurate for me than the one that we're reading just now, that it does work wonders. It can do things for you that nothing else can, that nothing in the world can do. Just encouragement. And that encouragement which comes from God's people and from the scriptures, from those that know who you are and that you love the Lord, that they encourage you with the right words. If you go to Hebrews 10, and it's a familiar one, the one that we're probably all familiar with. It says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. It does not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, it's up to both of us, two parties, you know, all to encourage one another. And I've just got this. Time's pressing now, so I'd just like to mention one that, one book in the scripture that I like to read is the book of Timothy, or the two books of Timothy. And it says in 1 Timothy 4:2, it says, say this, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But also, it could say because you are old, because sometimes older people are pushed to one side. So read there whatever you want, but don't let anyone look down on you because of your age. Let me say that. But set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And I would say that just to encourage all the fathers that you know, whether you're biological father, foster father, of any other, that you are a father, that you be encouraged that you can set an example. You can set an example, not just to everybody else, but particularly to those who are children. And children doesn't always mean the little ones. You can be a child in the faith. You could be in that position where you're you need to learn. So I'm just going to ask could you come back up, musicians? That would be good. Now, there are a couple of scriptures that I've come across again this week. One that we don't use much is the one about where Jesus is in a place praying somewhere. The disciples must be near. And when he's finished praying, one of them says, Lord, will you teach us to pray? Teach us to pray. And he says to them, he says, well, when you pray, he says, you pray like this. And he starts, Our Father, which art in heaven. You know, he doesn't talk about my Father or God in heaven. He says, translation says, Our Father. And I just feel that as such an inclusive way of talking to the disciples, to bring them into the same sense, in a similar relationship that Jesus is experiencing when he's praying. Also, there's also the one where it says, when Jesus is speaking again about prayer, and he's talking to them, he says, what you need to do is, you need to go into your closet and pray to your Father. Again, he's drawing them into that same relationship that he is enjoying with them, with Father. So my word to us all is, be a church. Let us continue to be a church of encouragers. It isn't something we're not doing. That's a double negative, I suppose. But we need to be people who are encouraging. Encouraging and across from, not just between the men, but between groups and between relationships, that we encourage one another while it's still there. So thank you for... Musicians, can I hand over to you now to continue? Thank you, Father.